Praise the Lord. I wish the whole world get saved.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what a different world we'd have lived in if everybody's saved?
It'd be a whole lot better.
Hallelujah. Be a whole lot less robbing, killing, shooting,
right,
and breaking hands and all of that.
That's for sure.
Y'all just listen to the words of this song. If Bonnie was here, she loves this song. I bow on my knees and cry holy.
Amen.
Amen.
Listen, Lord, use it. Praise the Lord.
You know what? I want to thank the Lord for being here
bless
this morning.
Bless your heart.
You know, I want to thank each and every one for their prayers last week.
Amen.
For our granddaughter. We get to talk to her Monday. They said we could call her Monday, and we get to talk to her. And so our son is going this coming Saturday. They're going to get to go see her. So they talk like that. She realizes that what's taking place. She knows what's going on. And that they talk like that, you know, she understands that her choice of friends, she needs to choose different friends.
Yeah.
So let's just pray that she will do that.
Yeah.
And I want to thank the Lord each day that He gives me the strength to get up and do what I have to do.
Amen, Sister Carolyn. Bless your heart. Amen. Yeah.
Ready?
Okay. All right. Let me say, first of all, good to have Brother Danny and Sister Sue with us this morning. Y'all have to have a long way to get here. We're always glad to see you.
Thank you.
Wish y'all live closer.
We're working on it.
They're working on it. Amen. Somebody said a church that's alive worth the drive. Amen. And we had a crowd in here last Sunday. We got a substantial amount in here this Sunday. Everybody always asked me, how many did you have? I said, more than I can handle. I told him in Fiscal this morning, I was just a little preacher. I said, I'm glad to be part of a little church. I said, maybe we can grow together. But you know, Brother Ed gave a great testimony this morning, and even though we're a little church, he gave a testimony this morning that Tuesday morning, King of Kings Radio, we all agreed to send them $100 to help get the radio station. And he said he heard on the radio station that they got that check from Landmark Baptist Church, and it was enough for them to put them over the line to get the new radio station. I say, praise the Lord. Little as much, when God's in it, I'm just glad it was in our heart to do it. And I'm glad God was able to make a blessing out of it. We can't do the big things, but we can do what we can, amen. One guy gave $100,000. I mean, what's that compared to $100,000? But this is the way it took it all to get it, amen. Some can give more than others, but we can all give what we can. And I'm so proud that even as a little church, you know, we're doing a great work, amen.
Doing a good job.
That Sunday school lesson this morning would have been good. But that young girl, Sister Carolyn, mentioned a lot of the things that were mentioned in the Sunday school lesson this morning will probably make more sense to her than it did even to us.
Yeah.
You know, when you become a victim of something like what she's become there in that accident, nearly lost her life, you're ready to listen. And if you listen to the right thing, you'll be better off. If you listen to the wrong thing, you'll find yourself repeating the same thing that got you there. All right, let's open our Bibles this morning to Mark chapter 5. We'll read the same text that we read last Sunday. Kenneth continued, I told you I was going to preach a three-part message on mental illness. I'm surprised at how much that message has been visited last week. You know what, now that I realize what I'm saying here, that message was visited so much last week. I want to say something here real quick. This don't have a thing to do with this message. But you know, everybody wants peace.
Yeah.
Our president tried to come with some kind of terms of peace with the Taliban, and they had a bombing over there and killed a U.S. soldier. And I was listening to radio this morning about Israel, and they was talking about how they just keep bombing Israel, and they thought they want terms of peace. Let me just share with you real quick why there can't be no terms of peace. Let me do that real quick here before we get in this Sunday school. I mean, before we get in this preaching this morning. I'm down in Sunday school. Look at Genesis chapter 16. God here, pretty specific. I mean, one thing I like about God, He says what needs to be said, and He says in a way it needs to be said. But He's talking about Ishmael. Abraham had two sons. We'll be going to Galatians here right after this. But in Genesis chapter number 16, God talking about Ishmael, and he was the son that Abraham had through Hagar, which was Sarah's Egyptian handmaid. That shouldn't have never happened, but it did. And God asked, Abraham asked God to bless Ishmael, and God agreed to bless Ishmael. But here's what God said about Ishmael. By the way, Abraham was
86 years old, if you look down at verse 16 of Genesis 16, when he made this mistake. God says this about Ishmael. He'll be a wild man. It's kind of hard to have peace with a wild man.
Yeah,
his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Now this boy should have never been born, and even though it was a mistake, God's compensated for it. These are the very enemies of Israel. The reason I said that, let me put this where even you can get it this morning. Look in Galatians real quick. Find it myself in a minute. Let's look in Galatians chapter number 4. We'll start at verse 22. Here's why we got so much going on over in the Middle East. For it's written that Abraham had two sons. The one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory? In other words, they're opposites. It's like light and darkness, flesh and spirit. They're contrary one to another. For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which entered to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, an answer to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it's written, rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate have many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Now, notice real good verse 29 here. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit. Notice them last five words. Even so is it now. So I just want you to understand there's not going to be no peace. It's going to be constant chaos, persecution, bombings, just two opposites. Alright, we're going to read Mark chapter 5. We'll get into preaching now. Sorry, I just wanted to share that because I know the people that listened to last week's message are going to listen to this week's message. I want to get all the truth to them that I can.
Amen.
So Mark chapter 5, we're going to read 20 verses real fast here. Yeah, verse 1 of Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been bound off, or he had been off bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. A demon possessed person or a person possessed by the devil is of tremendous strength. You can see in the Bible there in the book Acts 7, sons of one Sceva took on themselves to cast out a demon, and the spirit in that man or devil in that man leaked on them, and they left the house wounded and naked. And he said, Jesus, I know him. Paul, I know, but who are you? So don't take it on yourself to mess with anyone with an unclean spirit. Jesus can handle them.
Amen.
And if he gives you the leadership, you can too. So Paul said, He said, I can do all things through Christ and strengthen me. If he don't strengthen me, I ain't going to tempt it. But if God put it in my heart, I definitely would. But he says, verse 5 of Mark 5, and always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying, cutting himself with stones. This is a sign of mental illness. No one in their right mind does this to themselves.
Right.
But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. Now that's what every demon-possessed person needs to do. They need to get in touch with Jesus. Jesus still setting captives free. He set this captive free 31 years ago. I was 34 years old, but 31 years ago, I was a drunk. He set me free with one in my hand. He ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. I like the way Jesus, he just takes charge. He said, come out of him.
Amen.
And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, my name is Legion, for we are many. I heard this said, it's a good saying, one with God's a majority.
That's right.
So here Jesus is talking to this legion, says we're many. Verse 10, Jesus not only has the advantage, but the devil says, and he besought him that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountain a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine. No wonder we ain't supposed to eat pork. But anyway, that he may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. You know, he's the commander in chief. Mm-hmm. He gave them leave.
Right.
And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And Mays Jackson said they committed hogicide. And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. That don't make no sense to me, but I am glad that Jesus was able to cleanse this man. I'm glad he's able to clothe this man. And I'm glad now this man's sitting and in his right mind. Well, anyway, verse 16, and they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. You know, they don't want Jesus in the schools, even though that's what's needed. They don't want you to pray in Jesus' name, even though that's what's needed. Listen, if you ain't going to pray in Jesus' name, don't waste your time. Jesus said, whatsoever you ask in my name, my Father, do it. Well, anyway, he says, they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to the friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and have had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in the Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. Boy, you're talking about a testimony.
Mm-hmm.
This man had one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the precious Word of God.
Yes.
It's still relevant, Lord, in this day and hour we're living in. Lord, your Word, Father, it's complete. Lord, it's precious. Lord, it still gets the job done. Lord, you chose the foolish of preaching to save them that believe. And we pray, God, today you'd help us deliver this message. Give us, Lord, clarity of thought. Give us, Lord, I pray, clarity of speech. Let not our words be a stumble, Lord, I pray, or stuttered. And I pray, Lord, you give us, I pray, a loud, clear voice to tell these great truths today. And we'll give you all the praise and glory. In Jesus' precious, beloved name we ask it. Amen. I'm preaching today, the second part, on a series on mental illness. I preached last week on sexual mental illness. And I'm preaching today on spiritual mental illness. And they coincide quite a bit together.
Yeah.
I'll bring that truth to mind real quick right here. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. I may have to read a few verses here, but I'll tell you why they coexist so close together. It's brought out pretty good right here in Ephesians chapter 4. You can just listen to me. Starting in verse number 17. Ephesians 4, 17. Paul says to the church at Ephesus, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Did you notice that man was in his right mind?
Yes.
Now bear with me here about the mind. Having the understanding darkened. Now I want you to know he's talking to saved people. He's talking to church.
Amen.
A church in Ephesus. I hope God helps me deliver this message like it needs to be delivered. There's a lot to this message. being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart. Now, I want you to know this is same people he's talking about. He said, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now, we've got a presidential candidate right now. We already had one in the White House that was gay. We had not only a transvestite and a gay president, but we got one now that's an openly professing gay butt gig or something like that. I can't say his name. But he says, I got news for you Christians. I got news for him. But he says the Bible, it don't condemn, it condones the homosexual life. Well, y'all pay attention real good to this message today, because the Bible does say otherwise about that nonsense. But Paul's doing a good job bringing it out right here in verse 18. He says, having the understanding darkened. Remember that. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of the heart, who being past feeling. Now, I've read in here about being given over reprobate mind. Being past feeling, have given themselves over lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now look at verse 20. But ye have not so learned in Christ. I've got to read quite a bit of scripture. I'll read it fast. If so be that you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, and as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Again, he mentions about the mind, and he says, and that you put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Look at this verse 27. Talking to saved people. Neither give place to the devil.
Right. That's right.
A lot of people have done that.
Yes, they have.
Matter of fact, a lot of people give the whole place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And I'm going to one day preach a message on this verse right here. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God.
Yes.
Right.
Not only not grieve it, but remember it's holy.
Right.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Why? Even as God for Christ's sake have forgiven you.
Yes.
Now, I'm sorry to go on with more scripture reading, but we're going to continue right on verse chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering, a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication, there it is.
Mm-hmm.
I told you these things would overlap.
Right.
But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather of giving thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. This is the most important part of what I'm reading right here. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. And he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reproving. See, they've been bringing these people in, and look, you bring them in, I'll preach to them, I love them, but I want you to know they're not going to be coupled.
Right.
That's right.
Now this word has a design, it reproves, rebukes, and exhorts.
That's
exhort. And when it needed, when I need it, I'll get rebuked, I'll get reproved. But I want you to know I'll take the right action about it. I won't get mad, get lean. But it says here, proving what is acceptable in the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it's written, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doeth manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ will give thee life. I guess I'll read on down to verse 17. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, I'm preaching today on spiritual mental illness. What is it, Brother Eddie? Oh, good verse just come to my mind, just right there. You know, I like it on that fashion. Don't get me wrong. When God's leading, I want to follow.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, you listen real good to what I'm going to read right here. I'm here now, 1 Peter chapter 4. God just brought this to my mind. I didn't have any thought I was going to say this. Verse 17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now listen to verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
Yeah.
Now God has brought that to my mind, and I'm glad that God's able to do that.
Right. Amen.
But here's where I was going before God brought that to my mind. Matthew chapter 7. You've got a bunch of people here that have spiritual mental illness. In other words, you know, as bad as hell is, I'd make sure I wasn't going there.
That's right.
And the Bible does say, you know, to work out your own salvation, fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 1. It says, examine yourself, prove yourself, know yourself. But anyway, spiritual mental illness, you got a bunch right here that they evidently neglected what needed to be done to know that their name's in the book of life, like Brother Jared chose that song there about the blood, and I am glad, praise God, I have been washed. I'm glad I have been saved. I'm glad, praise God, I'm clean, amen. God says to a bunch of people right here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that have spiritual mental illness. He says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, God is not willing that any perish. So if you want to know what the will of the Father is that you get saved, amen. That's what the will of God is. He said, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied, have we preached in your name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. I want you to look at the end result of spiritual mental illness. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you.
Right.
Depart from me.
Amen.
You that work iniquity. Now, that's a sad commentary.
Yes, right.
Now when I say spiritual mental illness, Jesus talked about some being whited sepulchres in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27. He said they're just pretty graves. That's all they are. They're full of dead man's bones.
That's right.
He talked about they make twofold more childs of hell than themselves in Matthew 23:15. He called them blind guides. In other words, the blind lead the blind, they're headed to the ditch. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 16. Now, the disciples are talking about spiritual ignorance. In Acts chapter 3, he said through ignorance they killed Jesus. Well, Jesus said the time will come that they'll kill you thinking they're doing God's service in John 16:10. Why? Verse 3. Because they have not known the Father, no Jesus. That's spiritual mental illness. I just want you to know, I'll throw a few things in there. Now, spiritual mental illness can be summed up in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. It says they're willfully ignorant. In other words, they don't want to know the truth. They're willfully ignorant. All right. Spiritual mental illness and sexual mental illness, and they are both of the devil. No one in their right mind, like that boy was there in verse 15, will partake of either one of these two I've just mentioned here, and yet there are multitudes in the world today that have either one or both of these spiritual mental illnesses. And I'm not mentioning words. Like my pastor said, you get out and you'll see it's a whole lot worse out there than it is here in this little
right. Big
town, Glasgow, Kentucky, little, what they call it, hillbilly state, Kentucky. Yeah. I thank God for our governor, Matt Bevin, very godly man. We had prayer meeting last night, and as I was praying last night, I was thinking along the lines of when the righteous reign authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked bear rule, and we don't need that. Let me tell you, some people don't need to be given power.
Right.
Now, look, we live in a republic.
Right.
What it means to is it means we have a say in who leads
right. This
country.
Right.
That's why your vote's important. That's why you need to be registered. You need to vote. Don't lose your republic. Let me tell you what a republic is. It's a government of the people.
Yeah.
By the people. And for the people.
Right.
We've got a government right now. I'm not sure what it is. I guarantee one thing. It's against America. We got a few up there that are still pledged allegiance. They ain't red faced. They put their hand on their heart. We just recently had a president smoke a cigarette while they said the pledge. Wouldn't put his hand on it. Good, he's a Muslim. And I'm trying to understand the predicament he's in.
Damn.
He couldn't pledge allegiance. Well, you know, it's okay for Muslims to lie. I guess he could have. But he chose not to publicly. Did y'all see that? They're saying the pledge, and he's sitting there smoking a cigarette. I saw it.
Oh, Lord.
He didn't have no hand in his heart. He just hoped this thing gets over with. Now, he got sworn in as the president of these United States. You still don't know about some people don't need to be given power.
Right.
Amen.
And like Rick said, it's worse out there than it is here.
Right.
Now, we need to stay informed. We need to watch the news, I do, and try to keep up what the heck's going on before this thing's going to hit, and it's going to hit hard. Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. That's the right kind of mind to have. Have one like Jesus. He said it. He wanted to please his Father. His Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's about as good accommodations you can get.
Right.
That's right.
God said, I'm pleased. See, we can't please God without Christ.
That's right.
But we can please God through Christ.
Yes, sir.
You see, honest, they're sincere. They got good works.
Yeah.
But not by works of righteousness we have done. But according to His mercy and His grace, He saved us. I believe that's a Titus 3 verse 5, I think. You gotta realize He saved me. And these Amish, they got better works than I do. But I've got better than they got. I got Him. Paul said He told everything He had away for Christ. He said being found in Him, not having my own righteousness out of the law, but the righteousness of Christ. In other words, you'd have to walk over here if Jesus standing here and say, I'm as righteous as Him to go to heaven. I can't do that. But He put His righteousness on me and made me now. I'm accepted in the beloved.
Yeah.
Amen.
Because of the gift of God.
Come on.
Not a word, let's any man should boast. You know, I'm trying to reach Amish. I am. I'm trying to talk to them. But it's kind of hard. They got this, they mentioned last night, they got some kind of a vision, but some of them won't let them read the Bible. And He wants to keep them spiritually. Mental illness, blind, whatever you call it. He don't want them to get any light. But they're not allowed to read their Bible. They have to listen to whatever this bishop says, whatever he says they have to do. Man, it's that commentary. I'm glad, praise God, that Jesus told us to do otherwise. We'll get to that here in a minute. But Paul said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. When it comes to spiritual mental illness, I want you to know you better be careful about your mind, amen. My pastor used to say that an idle mind's the devil's workshop, and he likes to set up house, amen. Jesus told Peter.
Man.
Jesus told Peter, Brother Mitchell. He said, Peter, Satan's desire to have you.
Yeah. Right.
That he might sift you. It's sweet. And I saw some people that fell into that. They used to sit on the pew. Mm-hmm. And they ain't here now.
Yeah. Amen.
And they used to run. They ain't running well now. Well, no telling what they're at, be honest with you. I got two men that I'm praying for, both of them young preachers. Both of them left their wives. Both of them like demons, haven't left this present world. Left the ministry. Left their family, left the church. And they're, I guess, enjoying the pleasures of the same for a season. It's a sad commentary.
Right.
I wish it wasn't so, but it goes on. Jesus warned Peter. He said, Peter, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Peter said that Satan, our adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Listen, not only was Peter speaking to believers, but in the next verse, Peter said, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that your brethren are in the same battle. Paul mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, about putting on the whole armor of God that we might be able to withstand, to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, there's no discharge from this battle. We got a war of good warfare. The casualties are real. They mount up. It saddens my heart to see people fall prey to the devil. Amen.
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 Paul mentioned instructing some that had been taken captive by Satan that they might recover themselves out of the snare of Satan in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25 and 26. Listen, when it comes to spiritual mental illness, we need to be wise as a serpent. The Lord just gave me that, by the way. And harmless as a dove.
That's right. That's right.
I'm glad you turned that arrow on, brother. I was fixing to cut loose. Amen. But I tell you what, it's our job to keep our mind in check to the Word of God.
Yeah, right.
In Acts chapter 17, verse 11, it talks about them Bereans, said they were more noble than them, and they were in Thessalonica, and that they received the Word of God with all readiness of mind, and they searched the Scriptures daily when those things were so. That's what we need to do.
That's right.
We need to make sure they're so. There's a lot of people following white sepulchers, Rita. There's a lot of people following blind leaders of the blind, and you know what? They don't care.
That's right.
They're not concerned. You know, it's, I guess you call it playing. I don't know. Listen, I'll tell you right now. I'm allergic to pain. I went to the dentist. He said, what's your biggest concern? I said, pain. He gave me about six shots of Novocaine. He said, do you feel well? I said, well, I couldn't drink water for 3 days. Now, I'll tell you what, we got to run out of pain. I'll tell you right now. I don't want to go to hell. Jesus said in Mark, I believe, Mark chapter 9, he said, if your eye is going to cause you to go to hell, he said, pluck it out. You'd be better off. He said, if your hand was going to cause you to go to hell, he said, cut it off. You'd be better off. If your foot was going to cause you to go to hell, he said, cut it off. You'd be better off.
That's right.
You know, people, they don't realize
no,
consequences of being spiritual. Ignorant. They got what mental illness about getting ready to meet God. They just think it's something. You know, I correspond a lot of people on the internet. They say some fairy tale, book, some fable. I said, buddy, you better read it again. Because I'll tell you right now, you know, everybody that's ever actually took the Bible up for the purpose of overthrowing the truth in there, if everyone had been arrested with conviction and got saved, ain't that amazing? Every atheist that ever took the Bible up to try to somehow find the faults in there and find all the mistakes in there and find out they made a mistake, that the Bible was real, and the Holy Spirit got a hold of them and squeezed their heart, and they found themselves down on their knees, crying out to Him, His rich in mercy, all that cry upon Him, and they saw and got a refuge for their soul, just by pursuing for all the wrong reasons.
Yeah. Amen.
Boy, there's a lot of churches today. I'll tell you, buddy, you go in there, you might come out worse than you was when you went in there. Paul told Timothy, he said, some concerning the faith have made shipwreck. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 19. I got invited to a revival one time. I had no idea what I was getting into. And I went to this meeting. I walked in and opened my good old King James Bible. Nobody even had a Bible.
Matter of fact, they looked at me like I had an AK-47. The preacher didn't even have a Bible. He didn't read no text, Brother Jerry. He just got up there and just kind of tearfully gave a testimony. But I was sitting there thinking, man, what kind of dead burning church is this? Nobody had a Bible except me. And he's scared to death of the fact that I'm on one end. And I'm glad I did, praise God. At least I had a little bit of God with me, amen. But I tell you, a lot of churches out there, they can make shipwreck of faith. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You need the Word of God to have faith, amen.
Right, amen.
Paul said to Timothy, some concerning faith have made shipwreck. Paul mentioned about restoring such a one, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted in Galatians 6:1. No one in their right mind gets out of church. That's my first point. All that other was just so you understand where I'm going. No one in their right mind gets out of church, and yet many will. Hebrews 10:25, God here doing the speaking. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together,
yeah,
right, as a manner of some is,
yeah,
but exhorting one another. That means encouraging one another. It really encourages me when I see all y'all here. I told Brother Hedy this morning, I said, I had one of kind of weeks. I was kind of like that woman who's trying to get her husband to go to church. He said, I ain't going. She said, yeah, but you're the pastor. Can you imagine showing up in person and trying to stay home? And that's the way my week went. I thought about that one. I thought, hey, I know what that man's thinking about me. I think, well, I just had a terrible week. But praise God, it got good since I got here. It had good sense to left this morning. Well, I'm sorry, it's pretty good message, isn't it? God, they gave me three more things I didn't know he was going to give me, man. But listen, let me get back to what I was trying to say there if I get my thought back. Oh, Lord. Get off chasing rabbits. thank you, Lord. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another.
Yeah.
And so much the more, as you see that day approaching.
That's right.
I've kind of got a very saying, and you know, it won't be wrong. We will be there.
Yeah.
And we'll get to take the tour of heaven. And we'll get to see the loved ones up there. And it's closer than when we believed. It ain't here yet, but I'll tell you what, it's nearer than when we believed.
Yeah.
We're almost going, getting ready to make our exes get out of here. I think about that a lot, about getting out of here. Won't it be wonderful there? And it will. But no one in their right mind gets out of church, and yet many will. Amen. Listen, Peter, the one that said, I'll never deny you. Peter found himself warming himself at the fire of the wrong bunch. Luke 22:55. The preceding verse 54, said he'd been following afar off.
Yeah.
You say, well, I go when I can. I try to encourage a man to go to church this morning. And brother, Mitchell running someone said they're going this morning, get saved. Amen.
Right.
I like the sound of that. But Peter found himself around the wrong bunch. Carolyn talked about her granddaughter, said she'd been hanging around the wrong bunch.
Yeah.
Listen, right. Peter said, I'll never deny you. And here he is down there around the wrong bunch. He denies that he knows the Lord. And on the third time that he denied he knew the Lord, the Bible said he began to curse and swear. I bet Peter never thought he'd do that.
Mm-mm.
But you know what? After he denied that Lord that third time, and after he cursed and swore, this, by the way, that same Peter said he'd never deny the Lord. But after that happened, the Bible said Peter remembered the word of the Lord. And he went out and wept bitterly. Matthew 26:75. I tell you, buddy, you get out of church, you get cold.
Yeah, right. Amen.
Peter's over there warming himself by the wrong fire.
That's right.
That's what will happen to you.
Yeah.
You'll get around the wrong fire.
Yeah, right.
There's some boys in the Old Testament took on themselves to offer God strange fire. God killed every one of them. Wrong fire. I think it's 250 of them. They thought they could just do it anyway. David's going to bring the ark into Jerusalem. Thought he could just do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Put it on a brand new cart, two caves. God killed Uzziah. David got afraid. He's doing the right thing, just doing it the wrong way. Be very careful.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
I'm saying right now, buddy, be careful. It comes God. Oh, God is. He's a little different than you and me. Sometimes, buddy, you only get one opportunity to mess up.
That's right.
But I'm glad He was merciful to me, and I'm glad for those that He are merciful. But no one in their right mind gets out of church.
That's right.
No one in their right mind is absentee from the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 through 21 says, "Attend unto my words, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart." Jesus said, "Stay in the Word," John 8:31-32. And He said, "If you'll do that, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Isaiah 34:16 says, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, no one of these shall fail." If you don't want to fail, stay in your Bible.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
No one in their right mind gets out of church. No one in their right mind puts aside their Bible. Paul talked about it being instruction in righteousness. 2 Timothy 3:16. There are people today that they didn't desire the sincere milk of the Word as newborn babes in Christ, and they didn't grow because of that mistake. 1 Peter 2:2. And I want you to know the devil loves those that are weak and anemic, and even though they're babes in Christ, I need to talk because I spent about 10 years in that sad state as I grew in the Lord. And I found myself having zeal but no knowledge to back it up. It takes time to grow, I agree. It's not like, and you know, I guess everybody could say amen to this. I looked for a shortcut.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Right.
I did find one. I found out I could play a cassette tape and I could listen to the Bible while I was driving.
Right.
I did find out I could do that.
Yeah.
Amen.
And then I found out Alexander Scorby would read it to me.
Right.
So I let Alexander Scorby read it to me. And I'd read it myself. Here's what they do. I get it two ways, through the ear, through the eye. But I also learn how to pronounce some of the words, amen?
Amen.
I mean, some of them, I have to admit, they're just like too big of words, this little boy. just simple-minded anyway. But you know what? We need a good, solid diet of the Word of God.
Amen.
We need a good, faithful relationship to the house of God. Not abstain either one, but really make more time for the Word of God. Make more time for the house of God. And I'll tell you right now, the Bible says God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And there's another one that got through in there. You know, some people say, "I just ain't having no success." You know, God's got a few requirements. One of them, the Bible says, he that cometh to God must believe that He is.
Yes.
You know, if you ain't got enough faith to believe God to be God, that's kind of like that rich young ruler come running to Jesus, said, "What good thing must I do to have eternal life?" He's sincere. Jesus said, "Keep the commandments," and He said, "All of them I've kept from my youth." Lord, I think of that. Look, the most important part out. Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good?" He said, "If man good but God." That was an opportunity right there for him to acknowledge that Jesus was God.
Right.
See what I mean? He that cometh to God must acknowledge that He is God, and He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
Yeah, we need to spend some time in that. I don't know about y'all, but I've made some outstanding discoveries in there.
Yeah.
You know, I was down there on the road one day, and Alexander Scorby was reading the Bible, and he read something in my little cassette player, and I said, "That can't be true." I pulled my truck over and got my good old King James Bible out, and I thumbed to that reference, and I have to admit, God was right and I was wrong. That God be true. Hey, I don't have a problem with that at all. I want it to be right. I just thought, that ain't right. That can't be like that. I found out it was like that. Amen.
Amen.
Well, you know, there's a lot of discoveries yet to be made in the Bible. You know, men, they went to the moon. Now they're exploring the depths of the ocean. They went where people have never been before. But there's still territory in here.
That's right.
The men would do well to explore.
That's right.
That's why I seek you out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. Don't fail to read.
Amen.
Give the most earnest heed to the things you've heard. You'll find out that it'll go a long ways in life. Peter said he remembered the word of the Lord. You know those scriptures that God brought my remembrance a while ago, Brother Mitchell? If I hadn't had them in there, I couldn't remember them.
Right.
See, that's why you need to lay up some things.
Amen.
The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee." Yeah. Having that word in your heart's wonderful.
It is.
You know, my mom, my dad, they tried their best to raise this little tow-headed boy. I remember reaching for something one time, you know what my mom was saying? Peyton, she said, "That's hot." Yeah. And I went in over there and reached it, and it burnt my hand. She said, "I told you that's hot." I said, "Mama, kiss it." And she did kiss it. And I tell you what, God says the same thing.
That's
he tried to warn us. He tried to help us. If I listen to my mom, well, you know, I probably wasn't going to listen that back then anyway. I had learned everything the hard way. But listen, I had zeal for years with no knowledge to back it up. And I'm like some of you, boy, I wish I could quote the Bible. I wish I knew more about it. Look, there's no shortcuts. Just stay on track.
That's it.
The further you get down the track, the more you look back and see all the nuggets you laid up. Brother Danny, I used to take my Bible to work, and I'd read it on break. Now, first time I started doing that, I met everybody in the break and went,
"Yeah."
He's got a Bible on there, the paper, read it.
Yeah.
There wasn't no time there's a bunch of Bibles in there.
Amen.
Hey, I'm not kidding. There wasn't no time there was 10 Bibles in there.
Amen.
Heard them other fellas, they got a little girl, and they left. We had Bible study in the break room.
Amen.
Ain't that good? Amen. But you see what I mean? God honored that. I brought that Bible in there. I didn't bring the big old family Bible. I brought that little old pocket King James Bible, but opened it up. They knew where it went.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, my men clearing their throats and stuff. But it wasn't too long, I had company. There was other people talking about me.
Amen.
"Hey, what's this right here, man?" I said, "I don't know. We'll pray about it." I learned a lot from Brother Herb in there. Amen. I mean, we're just babes in Christ. But I tell you what, boy, we studied and we grew. And that's what you got to do. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Listen, stay in church. Nobody in their right mind gets out of church.
That's right.
Stay in your Bible. It won't make you crazy. You remember what Felix said about Paul? "Much learning doeth make thee mad." He said, "I'm not mad, most noble Felix."
Yeah.
No, he wasn't crazy. Felix was. Felix should have said, "Would you mind telling me what he do be saved?" He's crazy. Paul wasn't. Felix, he got a little uncomfortable. That's Paul's reasoning with him.
Yeah.
About judgment to come, and righteousness, and temperance, and all that. He got a little uncomfortable. And he said, "Much learning will make you mad." He said, "I ain't mad." Now he's talking about makes you crazy. He said, "I ain't crazy." Now Paul did say he's a fool for Christ. I am too. And I was a fool for the world for 34 years. I'm glad I ain't that kind of fool no more. I'm the right kind of fool now. Amen.
Amen.
Don't forsake the house of God. Don't forsake the Word of God. I'll tell you right now, buddy, in this day and hour we're living in, this hour that Jesus said, "Take heed that no man deceive you," this hour of deception where many are following, many are failing, I want you to know the Bible said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and stand. Every day I'll stand there with.
Amen.
And I'm not a running bunch. Paul said he stood for the Word of God. And really, he said my first answer, I think it's 1 Timothy chapter 6, he said, "No man stood with me."
Yeah.
He said, "Nevertheless," he said, "the Lord stood with me."
Yeah, that's right.
Well, bless God, the majority. You know what I mean? That's all you need. If you got God, you get everything you need. Amen. Hey, like you got to go get back there. If you got God, you got all you need. One boy went up against a 9-foot tall giant. He said, "I come to you, man, the Lord," and he smote him like one of those big red cedars down there in California, one of those big old trees. He went down, amen.
Amen.
That giant said, "What was that?" David said, "That was a pebble from God." We got a little puppy we named it Pebble. Bad name. Bad puppy. Bad. Don't abstain from the house of God. Don't abstain from the Word of God. Last of all, let me throw this in and we'll be done. Stay in prayer.
Yeah.
Some things, you know, I've told people, they probably think I'm just sidestepping or not taking seriously what they mentioned. I said, I'll pray about it. I talked to Brother Charles Fishback last night, and he said, "Brother, let's have a word of prayer." I said, "You go ahead and pray. I'm driving." And I'm holding his phone with my ear.
I'm driving that 99 Silverado out there. Brother Charles out there, he's praying, touching heaven.
Amen.
Tell you what, when he got done, I said, thank you, Brother Fishback. I felt a whole lot better. I had a battle with my daughter this week. She's in the category of what I preach right now, spiritually, mentally ill. This girl got saved when she was 18 years old, loves God, loves the Word of God, loves the songs of God. I'll tell you right now, in the state of mind she's in right now, she don't know who she is.
Oh, man.
It can happen.
Yes, it
can.
Yes,
it can.
It happened to you. It happened to me.
Anybody.
The Bible says, take heed. Him that's standing, take heed lest he fall. But ain't none of us that strong, ain't none of us that tall, ain't none of us that learned or that good or nothing like that. We're all in need of God's help every day.
Right.
So pray, Lord, deliver me even today from temptation and evil. Forgive me of the times I've sinned and done wrong. Help me today. So before you be at holiness, listen. Sometimes we fail because we fail to pray. I'm scared about the house I'm afraid of. Don't live the day we're living in.
You're right.
I'm scared of anything I don't pray over. And this ground done been cursed twice, really.
Right.
God cursed it for Adam, Satan, then cursed it for Cain, Satan, right. More eating stuff that comes out of the ground. I'm afraid of anything that hasn't been prayed over. That curse is what causes
amen.
Cancer,
that's
I believe.
Right.
Amen.
Yeah. Right.
I ain't a doctor, and I certainly don't act like I am. I feel a whole lot better if I pray over something else. I'm about it, so I prayed over it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if they still kill me, but at least I prayed over it. Amen. I said, God, I don't know what this is. I pray you make it help to my body and give me strength to go on the journey that's before me. I tell you right now, I'm scared of anything nowadays that I turn things over.
That's right.
Asking God's blessing.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
And I watch my dog eat that old plate as well and whoop it down. And I used to be just like that.
Yeah.
Sit down, whoop it down. Now, bow my head, I say, Lord, thank you for this.
Yeah.
For this food.
Amen.
Bless it. Why not eat blessed food?
That's right.
Man, why take a chance?
That's right.
Pray over it. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, Philippians chapter 5, maybe verse 17, pray without ceasing. That means pray while you drive down the river.
That's right.
That's what Mr. Fishback did last night. I said, Lord, I agree with him. I mean, I couldn't close my eyes. I normally pray with my eyes closed. Sometimes I don't, but most time I do. But last night I was praying with my eyes open, Lord. I agree with him. Help us in this matter.
Right.
I believe God. That somehow this thing will have a good ending.
That's right.
And if not, I believe God do what's right. And I know He will. He'll do everything wrong. He'll do what's right every single day.
Amen.
You remember what God, what Abraham asked God? He said, shall not the judge of all the earth be right? He said, God will do right every time.
Amen.
Amen. Pray. Jesus said we need to always pray.
That's right.
Luke 18 verse 1.
Amen.
I think a lot of spiritual mental illness today can be summed up to people that's got out of church.
Right.
To people that haven't spent much time in the Bible and are spiritually mentally ill because of it.
Yeah.
And last of all, I believe because of people lack of prayer. Lord, we've done our best to deliver this message today, and I feel, Lord, like I've done the best I could with it.
Yes.
What a message, Father, for anyone to deliver. But I pray, dear God, Lord, you'll direct it, Lord, like an arrow to where it needs to be, Lord, by way of internet, even here this morning. May we all assure ourselves, Lord, and examine ourselves today, Father, in the light of your word. And Lord, if there's anything here today that needs to be done, may it be done now while this invitation is going to be given. And Lord, if anybody on the internet hears this message, I pray, God, Lord, it be received with readiness of mind. And Lord, I pray, God, it'll help somebody. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for anything that might be done in Jesus' name today.
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. Like ask Brother Jerry and Sister Sharon, please. Get us an invitation on him. Now listen, all I do is deliver the message. I'm just the messenger boy. If you need to do anything with the message, this is that opportunity right here.